I am reading the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 3, 1 through 9. The destiny of the righteous, but the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster. And their going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. Those who trust in God will understand truth, and the faithful will abide with God in love. And because grace and mercy are upon his holy ones, and God watches over his elect.
Dia de los Muertos has been steadily gaining traction in the United States. This, of course, is probably due to the high number of Latinos who live here, but also in the acceptance of the observance of this day. I'm always wary that there is danger in appropriating customs, and the last thing I want to do as a white woman is try to own a tradition that isn't mine. I don't want to whitewash the beauty and cultural significance of this day, but I do want to uplift it. I want to experience it because it is such a beautiful observance. And even though it isn't my tradition, the act of remembering our dead does not belong solely to the Mexico or Latino cultures alone. In fact, it's long been a part of our tradition. Unfortunately, we've anesthetized it so much because we aren't entirely comfortable with death. I'm going to be honest with you. It's only been in the last few years where I've become fully able to appreciate El Día de los Muertos because I used to think that the skeletons were scary, and it was too brazen for me. I think I thought it was like in your face or something, and people were trying to scare me or scare kids. I don't know, I failed to get it. But I think a lot of us waspy types tend to fail to get it. I guess it's because of that reality that as white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, we are a little bit obsessed with purity. And we want to scrub away anything that seems impure, so we don't really want to think about dead people. Where once the majority of people died in their homes, now the majority die outside their home. It used to be that all funerals took place inside the church, and then the bodies were buried in the cemetery next door. Well, that's a tradition that has largely faded away, especially for us in the West. We want to keep our distance. We're afraid to really talk about death. It's scary. We don't have control over it. We're not really sure how to approach it. So now we read books about how to do it. How do we talk about death? Because we haven't done the best job of passing a tradition on for the living to live with death very well. No longer do we live with multiple generations in our home. We rarely watch our grandparents or our great-grandparents die in our living rooms. Do we gather for a vigil with the body right there, sharing food and laughter, telling stories of old? Our Jewish brothers and sisters continue to sit Shiva, but we have lost so much of our tradition, forcing families to reinvent it as we go. We're not comfortable with death. But maybe we could learn from people who are. Día de los Muertos is certainly a cultural phenomenon. And I've said it, by birth it isn't mine. And even as I fear appropriating another's culture, I'm also aware that our traditions stem from the very same place. Day of the Dead, Día de los Muertos, is All Saints Day. Like I told the kids, it is All Souls Day, All Hallows Eve. It all comes from the same place. It's rooted in pre-Christian traditions, but upheld by our own faith until we scrubbed it clean, avoiding dealing with our waspy American discomfort with death. The further we get from our ritualized traditions, the further our culture distances itself from healthy practices of grieving, and I think the more afraid we then become of death. So last year, interestingly enough, it was just after El Día de los Muertos, Disney released Coco. It danced that fine line between appropriation and honor. But from the reviews I've heard from critics, and most importantly from Chicanos in our midst, it was a hit. My family has seen very few movies in the theater, but Coco made our list. Like so many Disney movies, it was an instant classic. You remember last year in the summer, we did a Disney series, animated faith, where we looked at Disney movies through a theological lens. Well, this movie is perfect for that. Maybe it's even on its own shelf because it is so powerful. It does what many of us cannot do on our own. It invites us to embrace death. Anytime we do that, though, we run a risk of feeling really uncomfortable. We're scared of scaring our children, which scares us. But this film does not frighten. Instead, it invites us to think deeply, to imagine a world beyond our own, and to embrace the mystery while rooting ourselves in love. Now, I've been told it's even better in Espanol, pero todavía solo lo veo en inglés. But even in English, it remains true to its roots, peppered with palabras de Espanol, so that even the most gringo of gringos gets immersed into the experience. Un corazón abierto, an open heart. Coco tells the tale of a family and the journey of a little boy, Miguel, whose mystical experience teaches him about death and life, and most importantly, the love of family. So if you haven't seen it, I highly suggest you do. And here's the deal, it's on Netflix, so none of us have an excuse not to see it. Go home and watch it and ask your granddaughter for the password. All of us should be watching this show. It is an incredible testament to the beauty of Pixar, to cinematography through animation, and as you've already heard today, beautiful music come to life. It's a story worth being told. Now, I like it because I think it's good theology. Now, I'm not going to say that I take it literally, but if you haven't figured out by now, stories of faith are not meant to be taken literally. They are meant to point to a truth. Coco points us to a truth. It connects past and present, approaching the very delicate subject of death with an openness and an honesty. There's a mystical element of fantasy here, but like all myths, it points us to that truth beyond literalism, and it teaches us something about ourselves. I love it. You can tell. I just love it. So here's the story in a nutshell. Miguel's family is made up of shoemakers. It's what they do. It's what they've always done. They do it in the shadow of music. A legendary musician rooted in their own town, Ernesto de la Cruz. But even as the town lives and breathes by this old musician's songs, he's now dead, Miguel's family has absolutely nothing to do with it because his great-great-grandfather chose music over family. His choice killed music for his family forever after. But Miguel felt the music in his soul. He thought it was running through him passionately in his blood. He adored De La Cruz, just like everybody else in town, but he had absolutely no desire to go into shoemaking. He wanted to play his guitar and sing for the world. Now his family would have absolutely nothing to do with that. So on the night of Dia de los Muertos, Miguel tried to sneak into town to play his music, but his abuela wasn't having it. Tonight, she said, is about family.
What? Because no one's going anywhere. Tonight is about family. Ofrenda room. Vámonos. Día de los Muertos is the one night of the year our ancestors can come visit us.
We put their photos on the ofrenda
so their spirits can cross over. That is very important. If we don't put them up, they can't come.
We made all this food, set out the things they loved in life, mijo. All this work to bring the family together.
I don't want you sneaking off to who knows where. Where are you going?
I thought we were done.
Ay, Dios mío. Being part of this family means being here for this family. I don't want to see you end up like...
Like Mama Coco's papa?
Never mention that man. He's better off forgotten.
Well, you're the one who... I was just... But I was...
Papa? Papa is home.
Mama, calmese.
Calmese. Papa is coming home.
No, Mama. It's okay. I'm here.
Who are you?
I'm hard on you because I care, Miguel. Miguel? Miguel? What are we going to do with that boy? You're right. That's just what he needs.
The ofrenda is important because of the power of memory. Because as long as we tell our family stories, our family members live. And as Miguel discovers, there is power in that remembrance. A photo on the ofrenda keeps our dead close. And on days like the Day of the Dead, might even keep them alive. I'm not gonna spoil the movie for you, but it's beautiful, it is funny, it is heartwarming, and it is theologically stimulating. Look, none of us knows what happens when we die. It truly is a mystery. I don't know if we cross a marigold bridge and live in an alternate universe filled with beauty and spirit guides or alebrijes that watch over us, but I do believe we're with God. And I like the idea that once a year, we stop everything and we pause and we remember. I don't think we do enough of this in our world. We're so busy, busy, busy. We do hold funerals, memorials, but so many of us are expected by our culture to get back to normal within days or weeks of a loved one's death. If we don't intentionally embrace ritual, we fail to adequately process death. And if a society fails to do that on an ongoing basis, it will suffer. That's why so many religious traditions have an ongoing process of grief. Judaism, Hinduism, many of the Asian traditions. And it isn't devoid in Christianity. That's what's so important here. It's there. It's here. We just have to claim it. And that's why we do on this day, All Saints Day, or como nuestros hermanos dicen, el Día de los Muertos. It doesn't have to look like a Latino celebration. We don't need to steal it. But I also think that there's something beautiful in appreciating it. Whatever we do, we need to be intentional. We need to reflect, remember, and claim our own traditions. We look to our ofrenda, and we see the faces of our dead. We might even pause to hear their voice. Reach back in your mind. Can you hear it? The way she said your name, The way he greeted you. Hello? Just take a moment and listen. If you've been to a Dia de los Muertos celebration, or like what happened last night in downtown Santa Ana, put on by our friends at El Centro, La Noche de Altares, you know that it's not just pictures, but there are items. That watch you keep in the drawer, or a shirt that still hangs in the closet, her teddy bear, her jewelry, that old hat. Somehow in touching the things they touched, in feeling them in our hands, in lifting them up to inhale them, we feel them too. We smell that old familiar smell. And we experience them again. They have life in us in this mystical way that we cannot fully understand. To tell you the truth, that's why I think that so many white Americans are embracing our Latino Americans' cultural observation of this day. It's not just because it's cool to paint your face like a skeleton. It's because we are longing for something more. We're craving that spiritual connection. We want to feel the emotions, to grieve again, but also to smile. To laugh one more time at that old familiar joke. To carve out space in our lives to do just this. The pausing. To stop. To see them. To hear them. To smell them. To know them. And give them life again so that our children and our children's children can know them too. And in this, there is comfort. A little bit of the fear melts away. There's comfort knowing that our dead are not forgotten and gone. And maybe there's even a little comfort for us too. We won't be forgotten. Someone will tell our stories. Our legacy will live on la ofrenda. Will live in the hearts and minds of the people that we love. And so today, this day, our dead are not dead. Our dead are not dead. They are alive in us. Remembered. Amen.